loves the drums, amen. We should be all that excited about the drums. Because God wants us to make a joyful noise unto Him, amen. Drums would be nice, wouldn't they? I liked a good drum player, don't you? Well, Father, we just truly do thank you for all that came out on this Memorial Day to sit in your presence and even on Pentecost. We thank you, Father God, that your spirits are moving throughout this sanctuary, that your angelic host is here ministering to each and every need. And Father, I'm asking that you do a mighty works here this morning. Change lives, Father God. Change mindsets. Father God, let them become more like your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, the little Trinity. I said, not Trinity. Don't run, sweetie. Walk. She said, yes. I said, now remember, don't run, walk. She said, yes. So she ran. But isn't that the way God says, don't sin? And we say, yes, and we keep on sinning. You know, just put me in mind of that whenever she did that. But God wants us to quit our sin nature. This morning I'm going to talk about a remnant on the rise. Judges chapter 6, 1 through 40, we're going to read this. Yet again, the people of Israel went back to doing evil in God's sight. God put them under the domination of Midian for 7 years. Yet again, the people of Israel went back to doing evil in God's sight. Midian overpowered Israel. Because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves hideouts in the mountains, caves, and forts. When Israel planted its crops, Midian and Amalek, the easterners, would invade them, camp in their fields, and destroy their crops all the way down to Gaza. They left nothing for them to live on, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. Bringing their cattle and tents, they came in and took over, like an invasion of locusts, and their camels passed counting. They marched in and devastated the country. The people of Israel, reduced to grinding poverty by Midian, cried out to God for help. Now that I want you to know, that's what your sin nature does to you. You are reduced to grinding poverty. But it's sad to say that a lot of people, when they get to that state, still do not cry out for help. One time when the people of Israel had cried out to God because of Midian, God sent them a prophet with this message. God, the God of Israel, says, I delivered you from Egypt. I freed you from a life of slavery. I rescued you from Egypt's brutality and then from every oppressor. I pushed them out of your way and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am God, your God. Don't for a minute be afraid of the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But you didn't listen to me. Isn't that what's going on in the body of Christ today? God does one thing after another for you, but you still like that sin nature. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. Verse 11, one day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abrazite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press out of sight of the Midianites. The angel of God appeared to him and said, God is with you, O mighty warrior. And this is what God has been saying to the body of Christ. Gideon replied, with me, my master, if God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, didn't God deliver us from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to Midian. This is just like you and I. In verse 13, Gideon replied, with me, my master, if God is with us, why has all this happened to us? That's the church today. Verse 14, but God faced him directly. Go in this strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you? That's just, you know, just like when God sends you out to do something, you get all upset and depressed because you have to go through a battle. God sent you. He equipped you. And you can do the things he's called you forth to do. But we are a people that's too busy moaning, groaning, and complaining. And we are not about the Father's business. Verse 15, Gideon said to him, Me, my master? How and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me, my clan's the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the runt of the litter. Isn't that what we do too? God knows our makeup. He knows exactly what we have and what we don't have. And if he's called you to do something, he knows that you have it in you to do it because he's with you and he's in you and he's doing the work through you. So why do we always say, I'm not anointed enough, I don't have this, I don't have that? Why don't you just trust God in what he's saying? And God said to him, I'll be with you, believe me. He's been telling us that too. I'll be with you, believe me. He said, you'll defeat Midian as one man. Gideon said, if you're serious about this, do me a favor, church. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. I want you to confirm this through another prophet. Don't leave until, then Gideon said, don't leave until I come back and bring you my gift. He said, and the angel said, I'll wait till you get back. Gideon went and prepared a young goat and a huge amount of unraised bread. He used over half a bushel of flour. I was wondering who was he feeding. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and took them back under the shade of the oak tree for a sacred meal. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and unraised bread, place them on that rock, and pour the broth on them. Gideon did it. The angel of God stretched out the tip of the stick he was holding and touched the meat and the bread. Fire broke out of the rock and burned up the meat and bread while the angel of God slipped away out of sight. See, what did Gideon say to you? In verse 17, Gideon said, if you're serious about this, do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. The angel, as far as I'm concerned, just gave him a sign. Verse 22, and Gideon knew it was the angel of God. Gideon said, oh no, Master God, I have seen the angel of God face to face. But God reassured him, easy now, don't panic, you won't die. Then Gideon built an altar there to God and named it God's Peace. It's still called that at Ophrah of Abzer. Now, I just want you to keep listening. That night this happened, God said to him, take your father's best 7-year-old bull, the prime one, tear down your father's Baal altar and chop down the Asherah fertility pole beside it. So that was his assignment, right? God said if he would do what he asked him to do, he would be with him, right? Then build an altar of God, your God, on the top of this hill. Take the prime bull and present it as a whole burnt offering using firewood from the Asherah pole that you cut down. Now, that would be a little scary to do all that, right? Gideon selected 10 men from his servants and did exactly what God had told him. But because of his family and the people in the neighborhood, he was afraid to do it openly, so he did that at night. See, we do that too, right? Early in the morning, the people in town were shocked to find Baal's altar torn down, the Asherah pole beside it chopped down, and the prime bull burning away in the altar that had been built. That would really got me upset. I mean, a little bit afraid with the prime bull, right? They kept asking, who did this? Questions and more questions, and then the answer. Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son. He must die. Why? He tore down the Baal altar and chopped down the Asherah tree. But Joash stood up to the crowd, pressing in on him. Are you going to fight Baal's battles for him? Are you going to save him? Anyone who takes Baal's side will be dead by morning. If Baal is a god, in fact, let him fight his own battles and defend his own altar. That's what we need to do too. All right, let the devil fight his own battles. He's so big and bad and indifferent. Come on, guys. They nicknamed Gideon that day Jerubbaal because after he had torn down the Baal altar, he had said, let Baal fight his own battles. All the Midianites and Amalekites, the Easterners, got together, crossed the river, and made camp in the valley of Jezreel. God's spirit came over Gideon. He blew his ram's horn trumpet, and the Abzerites came out ready to follow him. He dispatched messengers all through Manasseh, calling them to the battle. Also to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, they all came. Gideon said to God, This is just like the body of Christ. If this is right, if you are using me to save Israel, as you have said, then look, I'm placing a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If dew is on the fleece only, but the floor is dry, then I know that you will use me to save Israel, as you said. That's what happened. When he got up early the next morning, he wrung out the fleece, enough dew to fill the bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, don't be impatient with me, but let me say one more thing. I want to try another time with the fleece, but this time let the fleece stay dry while the dew drenches the ground. God made it happen that very night. Only the fleece was dry while the ground was wet with dew. Come on now. That is the body of Christ out and out. And we need to grow up and get out of this stuff. You know, that's why they preached when I first came on the scene about the fleece, you know, that you shouldn't do that. Well, what's the difference in him doing that? Or if we just say, well, confirm it through another prophet, and then he does, and confirm it through another prophet, and then he does, and confirm it to another prophet. You know, how many confirmations do you really need? Amen? All right, there was a man in the Bible named Gideon who was fearful and weak in his own sight, but mighty in the eyes of God. Now, I want you to get this. There was a man in the Bible named Gideon who was fearful and weak in his own sight, but mighty in the eyes of God. You know, we in ourselves can do nothing at all, but in God's eyes we can do all things because he empowers us to do all things. I wish you would get that in your spirit today. It's not you doing anything. It's God working through you that does all things. And I know you can't do anything. I know I can't do anything, but I know the God in me can do everything. And see, this is what the enemy is. That's why it makes the enemy so happy, because he knows that we don't know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus. He knows that we keep looking at our own selves, say, well, I'm too weak. I can't do this. I can't do the other. When it isn't us at all that's doing it, it is God in us. The name Gideon means mighty warrior. Gideon was called to deliver Israel from the Midianites, but one day Gideon was hiding as they were attacking Israel. God had sent an angel to him saying, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. And I know some of you are still hiding. And God is saying, you're a mighty man or woman of valor. Come out of hiding and come forth and let me use you to do the mighty works that needs to be done. You know, Gideon replied with a question. If the Lord is with us, why did all these terrible things happen? The Lord, you know, we read this, but I'm just bringing out some highlights here. The Lord responded, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. After this encounter with the angel, Gideon went and rescued Israel from the enemy with an army, which the Lord had reduced from 32,000 to 300. You can read that in there in that too. He started out with 32,000 men, but when God got through dwindling them down, he only had 300. The Lord also allowed Gideon to see into the enemy's camp. See, if you would just trust God, God will let you see in the spirit realm, and he'll let you see what the enemy is doing. He'll show you who your enemies truly are. But we are so busy feeling sorry for ourselves, or wondering how we're going to do what God called us for to do, or when is he going to have us do it, or, you know, on and on and on we go, that we don't understand that God wants to open up our spiritual eyes, let us see into the spirit realm, and let us see who our enemies are. If we would just understand the power that's in us through Christ Jesus, if we could just understand the power that's in the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. He did not go to that cross for nothing, guys. He went there so we could have power and authority. He went there so that we could do the great and mighty works that needs to be done on this earth. You know, I shared this with somebody else this morning, but I was sitting at my desk studying last night. And all of a sudden, I did not hear a voice. I just had a feeling that I just needed to call Chris Gore, and we needed to pray together. I had no idea what it was all about. So I called Chris, are you busy? He said, no. I said, well, God, I just had an unction and I need to call you. And we needed to pray about what I don't know. And so he started speaking in tongues and I just was thanking the Lord. And all of a sudden God started using me to speak. And what God did was spoke to both of us, telling us where the church is at and what he's going to do with the church. And then he went from doing that to talking to Chris personally. Then he went from that to talking about some other people personally. But, you know, that was all just because I had a feeling that I should call Chris and we should pray, not knowing what it was all about. And see, that's the power of God in you. That's the God witnessing inside of you. And God wants you to be so full of him that he can, you know, that unction. When that unction comes, you just go ahead and move and do what God says to do. I didn't hear a voice, though. I just knew that that's what I had to do. It's that inner witness. I mean, Brother Brett shared with me that he was sitting in his computer and Nancy was upstairs at hers doing the word. And all of a sudden he heard, I think, Brett, I need you up here right now. He heard that in his spirit. And he went upstairs and she said something about, I sent you an email, but he didn't get it yet. But see, that was spirit calling to spirit. And she said, I really need you up here right now, is what she said, you know, whenever she saw him walk through the door. See, that's spirit calling to spirit. That's God inside of you. It's a witness. I'm so glad I was never a worldly person. I really am. And I'm just so glad that God dwells richly inside of me and that God is there to lead, guide, and direct me in all things. And I don't know about you, but right now I'm like Gideon. I'm a little bit upset with the enemy because he's stolen and he's stolen and he's stolen. And I'm just fed up with it. Aren't you fed up with the enemy stealing from you? You know, God has promised us victory. He said, this is a year that no more, I'm hearing him say, no more compromise. The body of Christ compromises too much. In other words, you allow the enemy to keep on stealing. He has no right to steal anything from us. None. We are God's children. And we are the head and not the tail. And we need to take authority over that devil right now. And we need to tell him, get out of my life and stay out of my life and mean it. I got so mad the other day, I could have just about spit nails. And you know, and then somebody said, are you still upset? I said, nope. I just told the devil what he was not going to do with me any longer. I'm so sick and tired of you coming into my house and doing the same thing over and over and over again. You're done. I'm the head. You're the tail. And I'm in the victory circle. Aren't, you know, we need to get to that. And I got to that point. The devil knows I'm at that point. I'm done. And I said this morning, I said, okay, you want to show me how big, bad, and different you are? I said, I can get bigger and badder than you are. And I'm about ready to show you what I really have down inside of me. So you better just stop your messing. Come on, saints. God never meant for us to be trampled on over and over and over again. We are not some floor mat. We are children of the Most High God, and it is time that we take our stand. It is time that we go forward and we conquer the land like God called us for it to do. But, you know, we've been a dead church long enough. It's time we become the victorious church. And the victory needs to start in your home. And then you take it to the world. If you can't get the victory in your home, then you're not going to take nothing nowhere. Are you listening? God said to me this morning, victory has to start in your home. The devil's, he needs to really run with everything he has because he has confronted me. You know what? The Lord told me a while back, you are your mother's daughter. My mother was a very quiet person, very smart, she could do anything. But when you got her mad, I mean, it was not the same person. So don't get in her way, is what everybody said. She had red hair and they called her Red. Don't get in front of Red today because somebody's made her mad. And you know what? The devil has really made me mad. And so if I'm my mother's daughter, then something has risen up inside of me that says, I'm finished. I'm finished with being treated like a piece of dirt. I might have been formed in dirt, but I'm not a piece of dirt. I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen. Eve was formed in dirt, but when I was born, God's breath was in me. Amen. Come on. That's the breath of the king's, you know, and that makes me a king's child. And as far as I know, every king that I've ever read of, his children were spoiled rotten, weren't they? They were the worst kids on the block because they got everything they wanted, right? That's right. So are you ready? Are you really ready to be victorious? This is Pentecost. Today is Pentecost. The Pentecost was the day when God sent down his fire, right? Come on. And new things started on Pentecost. A new power and authority was put on the people. And they went forth and they did a great mighty works for God. If you can't get on fire today, then just go on. Because today is Pentecost, and today God expects us to get on fire and stay on fire and quit this dumb throwing water on the fire thing. Get out of that ditch that you're in, I'm hearing God say. And stand up for what's right. You know, Teresa was teaching, said, thank God we have God. I said, if you're saying thank God you have God, then why does the church still sin? If they're so happy they have God. That God never meant us to do that. He meant us to get into victory circle and stay there. And be victorious at every turn. Let's get back to Gideon. Where am I at? Many of you feel as if an army is rising up against you. Some of us just come through that, right? But Jesus calls you a mighty man or woman of valor. He is with you to defeat every army and adverse situation that comes against you. I wish that we could believe that. I mean, believe it from our heart, not our head. If we would truly believe that from our heart, we would never moan and groan about anything. What did God say in the word this morning? He wants us to rejoice and dance. Is that what it is? You have to rejoice and dance. I don't know if it's been sent out yet or not. But if you don't rejoice and dance, forget about it. I was so happy to see Mary just a dancing up a storm back there. I thought if we could all get up there and dance like that, what a victory we would have this morning. The enemy would have to flee. He wouldn't be able to stand that. Who stole your dance? Somebody stole your dance. Somebody used to dance up a storm. You don't dance anymore. Somebody stole your dance, and it wasn't the person sitting next to you. It was Satan himself. And God wants to put the dance back on your feet. He wants to put the rejoicing and the whooping back in your mouth. And he wants you to defeat the enemy at every turn. Come on, guys. The Lord says, I am raising up a remnant as a mighty men and women of valor. They are those who are students of my word and will see themselves as I have created them to be. Now, how many of you see yourself as God has created you to be? Not many of you. You're still listening to the devil. You're still believing the lies he's been telling you all your life. You new converts are just getting into this. Please never listen to the devil. Never listen to the fact that he says you're not worth anything. He's a liar. Anything he tells you, you know is a lie, because he wouldn't be telling you. It's just the opposite. You are just the opposite of what he's saying. He said to me a couple weeks ago, you're finished. I said, you're a liar. I'm just getting started. Come on. I forgot how many years Kenneth Hagin Sr. was preaching, and he was talking to God, and God said, you haven't even yet started. He said, you've just been in how many years? 14 years, thank you. So, you know, he was 14 years, he was just a preacher, and he hadn't even done anything, but God said, you haven't done anything, you're just now getting started. So maybe some of you need to get that attitude. Okay, so I messed up for 14 years. You know, Kenneth Hagin didn't mess up, he wasn't in God's perfect will, he was in his permissive will. So some of us have been there, we haven't been in God's perfect will, but God wants us in his perfect will. Start today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not in 2 months from now. He wants you in God, his perfect will today. And his perfect will is to stand up, shake the dust off of yourself, and get moving for him. Quit saying, well, I'm this and I'm... No, you are if you say you are, but in reality, you're really not. You're a true child of the Most High God, full of the fire of God, full of the power of God. Get moving and do what God's calling you for to do. They are those who are students of my word and will see themselves as I have created them to be. I'm calling my warriors who are strong and courageous. I've always said I wouldn't want a lot of you if I was in a battle. I wouldn't want you in the ditch or whatever you call them things with me when the firing started, because I'd look around and you'd be gone. You have to be people that God can trust, that whenever the true battle starts, you aren't going to turn tail and run. You're going to stand your ground. And you're going to make the enemy turn tail and run. I'm serious, guys. God is serious. He's looking for strong warriors that he can trust to send into battle. You know, you just tears me up. Women and men both say, I'm so macho. Oh, get out of here. You are not macho because you're only macho in the world because when God sends you to battle, you melt. You complain and you whine. There's nothing macho about you except when you're working for the devil. But when you're working for God, you just act like you have no backbone, do they not? Come on. I watch the body of Christ and I know God has to be sitting up there just shaking his head because I watch the body of Christ and I think, these are God's children. God can't trust you. You aren't obedient to what he tells you to do. And you're always looking for an escape route. You're just like Gideon, putting your fleece out there. If this is really you, God, you know, God said you would never understand his ways, so quit trying. And God speaks a word to us, and we think he means this, but in reality, he really is meaning something else. And because it didn't turn out the way we thought it should turn out, we just don't know if we can trust God or not. We don't know if we can trust the prophet. Come on. We don't really know. You know, God has everything lined up. God has everything worked out. And we don't understand God's ways. And God really has everything just working perfectly. And there's certain steps we have to go through, whether we like it or not. There's certain steps we have to go through. And God always has told me all the years I've been serving him, daughter, I know you don't understand me, but I'm really working behind the scenes. And the things I promised you are surely going to come to pass. So it doesn't matter what our natural eyes see. God is working behind the scenes and he is setting everything up. So when it finally comes to a conclusion, it's going to be a perfect conclusion and nobody's going to be able to turn it. But when you and I work it out, it always messes up, doesn't it? It is never a perfect solution. And the devil can come and wreak havoc all the time. Why don't we just let God be God? I know I'm like you. I don't understand why the suffering goes on. I don't understand why the devil's children get away with what they get away with. I don't understand that at all. I don't understand why God's people keep have to suffer and suffer and suffer. I don't understand that. But I do know that God is looking down. I know he sees all things and knows all things. And I know he has everything worked out. And one day our enemies will be no more. Amen. Our enemy will just be no more. I am looking for those who will walk in faith and are not moved by adverse circumstances. This is God speaking. I am looking for those who will walk in faith and are not moved by adverse circumstances. Now, how many of you are in adverse circumstances right now and you're saying, God, I'm done? He said, but I'm not. I want it to end now, but he says, it's not going to end right now. I am looking for those who will walk in faith and are not moved by adverse circumstances. I just was tested, and boy, I wanted to move. I wanted to throw a fit. I did throw a fit, I'll be honest. I threw a fit, didn't I, Brother Chris? Threw a fit. I said, I can't believe this. I'm a child of God and the devil's doing this to me again. But I'm over my fit. And I know God is able. Right? So go ahead and throw your fit. But get over it. Not 2 months from now either. Get over it right away. I was livid. Brother Chris, I think, thought, well, I think I shouldn't have come here today. But I'm at the point, and I hope you get to the point where you're so angry with the enemy for walking all over you that you're going to make him stop. And this is where God has me. Okay, I want you to get good and angry at the devil now. Quit playing around. And I want you to make him stop doing what he's doing to you and your family. The devil's not going to stop until you get serious. And I said to him, my devil, you know my mother. And I'm her daughter because God said so. You know what she was, and I'm there right now. So you better turn tail and run. Because I'm not playing with you no more. You have made us suffer for the last time. Come on. I was just looking at my little girl that's been sick, isn't it, with us this morning. They are those men and women who are willing to go to the front lines. Listen to this. They are those men and women who are willing to go to the front lines regardless of what they hear and see in the natural. God's going to get us into the supernatural. He's going to keep pressing us till we get into the supernatural and quit looking at the natural. So until you get this together, he's going to keep pressing you, and you're going to have to go through these battles. God has been telling us, get up into the supernatural and work from the supernatural realm. They will take me at my word as they rescue and deliver others from the grip of the enemy. In other words, we have to get out of our own little mindsets, the me, and what's going on with me. And we need to let God go and handle those situations. And we need to go ahead and minister to other people. This is what this is all about. Get out of me and minister to other people. There's still God speaking, this remnant. They are spiritually intuitive, and their lives are transparent before me. They are not moved by bad reports, but will continue to advance into all that I have called them to do. I was moved by a bad report, but that didn't stop my walk with God. Amen. It just made me madder at the devil. They do not dread the unknown because they know that I have given them everything that they need to accomplish my purpose. Are you part of this army yet? They will not become weary as the enemy seems to be battering and relentless. As they seek my counsel, I will give them clear understanding and keen discernment. They will seek me for wisdom and direction when they are in doubt. How many of you has God said, you come and sit at my feet. You listen for my voice. I want to give you direction through your ears, not through a prophet's or a pastor's. I want you to hear my voice for yourself. Prayer and intimacy with me. They will sacrifice everything for my name's sake, and they are willing to burn their bridges behind them and forget the failures of their past. I get so upset when I keep hearing people say, well, you know what I did? I don't care what you did. And God doesn't either. That was in your past. Look to your future. Quit looking to the past, because if you keep doing that, the enemy's going to keep you in your past. You know, God isn't out to kill you. Well, yes, he is. He wants to kill your flesh. God is out to deliver you from the mess of your past. He's out to deliver you from your mindset, always going back to the past. I'm here to say, he wants you to live in the present. There is a future that lies before you if you'll go there. I hate all men. Look what all men have done to me. Well, you're never going to go to heaven, because there's going to be men in heaven, right? And there's no hate in heaven, is there? There's total love. Get over what men did to you. Get over what women. I heard somebody say, well, you're just like all the other women. Well, maybe it's you that needs a change. If you had so many women in your life and they've all been the same, there's something in you that's not right, not in the women. You know, so every woman you meet, you're going to compare them to somebody else because something in you is not right. Get over it. Just get over it. Well, you don't understand. No, I don't understand your situation. You don't understand my situations, but I have to get over mine the same as you have to get over yours, right? We can't keep living it. God told me, daughter, you're going to die in your past. Get into the future and stay there. So if he's telling me that, he's telling you that too. It's just not what's good for the goose is good for the gander, you know? I have to forget about it and keep moving. And you have to forget about it and keep moving too. God has it under control. Why do we always want revenge here on this earth? Oh, I care about it. I just want to go to heaven one day. I don't care. You know, I don't care what happened to me. I don't care how people use me and abuse me. I just want to go to heaven one day. And if I'm going to continually think about what people did to me, I'm never going to get to heaven. I'm never going to hear the voice of God. I'm never going to hear direction from him. I'm never going to complete my assignments here in this earth because I'm too busy thinking about what somebody did to me. It's not worth it to me. So God said, and they will sacrifice everything for my name's sake, and they are willing to burn their bridges behind them and forget the failures of their past. Right here, this sign. I thought I was mad at the body of Christ, and so I saw that sign, so I'm going to put that up. Here was God all along. It was a God thing all along. And then he gave me that. I said, alrighty. You know, God always does me, you know, one piece at a time. I said, God, why do you do that? You just give me a little tiny piece, then another little tiny piece, and another little tiny piece. Some people, you give them the whole puzzle all at one time. And then, see, I have to get these little pieces, and then finally watch how he puts them together. Amen? So why aren't you content with your little pieces that he gives you? And just know that he's going to give you the whole puzzle eventually. Because God said to me one day, he said, daughter, I'm going to put all the puzzle together, and you're going to see the picture clearly right now by faith. Keep walking. One piece at a time. You know, why can't you do that? You believe the devil, don't you? You believe everything he tells you. You know why I said it? Because you go out and do everything he tells you. Why can't you believe and trust God? Why can't you let your holy angel work for you? I don't know about you, but I got so tired of fighting battles. I said, angels, you better get out there and do your job. I have work for God to do, and I can't be fighting all these battles and work for God too. And I've noticed one thing. I've had peace. Since the angels are out there working for me, I have peace. All right, God goes on to say, to them I will expose the plans of the adversary. Come on. And they will discern the enemy's tactics and recognize his schemes. We just went through something. The whole time we was going through it, God would just give me a little word here, a little word there. But sure enough, it was all the big word when it was all finished. He let me know what was going on. He let me know what their mindsets was and why they were doing what they were doing. He said, it's going to backfire on them. It backfired on them. Come on. See, why don't you follow God and let him tell you what's going on? Why don't you do that? Why are you so caught up in the mess of your past? And why do you keep letting the past come and take you under and make you go back and do the things you've been doing? Follow God with all of your heart. You know, choose this day whom you're going to serve and then serve him. Come on. They will then understand. Well, I'm going to go back to them, Nancy, all right? To them I will expose the plans of the adversary, and they will discern the enemy's tactics and recognize his schemes. They will then understand the assignments that was brought against them to distract them and remove them from their place of authority. Don't you understand that everything that comes against you is the enemy working to distract you and to take the authority of God out of you because you get so flabbergasted that you just melt? And you don't have no authority, you have no power, because you're too busy getting concerned about what the enemy's doing to you. He can't do anything to you. He can make a plan, but his plan can fall to the ground and do nothing to you if you keep take your eyes off of his plan and put your eyes on God's plan and go back and read what did God promise you? That's what's going to happen, not what the enemy's throwing in your face right now. Amen? They will then understand the assignments that was brought against them to distract them and remove them from their place of authority. I will show them how to disrupt the plans of the enemy over their life. This discernment that I give will bring wisdom and direction from my word. This discernment will come through prayer and intimacy with me. How many times has God been telling us to get into prayer? Spend intimate time with the Father so he can speak into your ears and reveal to you what the enemy is doing to you. But what happens here is you're so distraught and so confused that you go to prayer and the enemy speaks to you. The enemy knows what you want to hear, so the enemy will tell you what you want to hear and make you believe you're all right. And all the time he's dragging you into a pit. You know, sometimes when I'm messed up and I'm praying, I say, enemy, I don't want to hear a word you have to say. Father, I only want to hear what you have to say. Your word said, I only hear your voice. And I know when the enemy's talking to me. I don't know about you, but I know when the enemy's talking to me. I'll say, get out of here. I don't want to hear a word you have to say. I'll actually get up and quit praying. If that devil's going to come into my prayer life and try to talk to me, I get up and walk away. I know God's voice. I know how God speaks. Don't you? Some of you, don't you know how his voice and how he speaks? You know when the enemy's trying to to sway you in a different direction. But because you want to go there, you'll listen. You'll keep listening. All right, these people will store my word within your in your heart. Oh, no, he's saying store my word within your heart. In the days ahead, you will look back and understand that everything that you have done was not in vain. Some of you need to get that in your spirit tonight. I need to get that in my spirit. I had to get it in my spirit when I was typing it. We'll look back and understand that everything we have done was not in vain. God had a plan and a purpose for everything that he allowed to come into our life. It should make us stronger. It should make us madder at the devil. And we should understand that we have more authority than we realize that we have. And the devil has no authority. And he has not won anything. One time God said to me, daughter, the enemy won this round only because you left him win it. You know, and well, how did I let him win it? Because I didn't quite trust that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. He said, but get back up, stay in the fight, and you'll win. So I learned a lesson. I'm never going to think God isn't going to do what he said he's going to do, because I know he's going to do everything he said he's going to do. He's going to bring us through every snare that the fowler has laid before us. He's going to bring us through every storm in life. He's going to bring us through. He has to. We're his children. He's our father. Some of you aren't very good fathers, so you don't understand what a good father really is. Or you haven't had a good father. I had a good father. I had a good mother. And I know what a good father I have in heaven. And even if I wouldn't have had, I still know I have a good father in heaven. I know he loves me. And I know he's never going to leave me. He's not. My father at one point turned his back on me because his new wife didn't want us. There were six of us. And he turned his back on us as she shut the door on us. But I know my Father in heaven would never do that. He would never shut a door on me because he loves me. He'll gather me in his arms and love me through my trials and tribulations. But he'll never close the door on me. Amen. Did I love my natural father-in-law? No, I loved him all the more because I knew he didn't know what to do. He had five kids to her and six kids he brought into this marriage, and he was betwixt and between. And I don't know what I would have done in that given situation either. We're standing on the street with little tiny boxer clothes in it, but I never hated my father. I just loved him all the more. I felt sorry for him that the enemy caught him in a snare and he couldn't get out of it. He was never happy a day in his life from that point on. He was the happiest man in the world before he ever sinned. You know, I don't judge him because I haven't been perfect in all decisions I made in my life. But that had nothing to do with it. I didn't know anything about it then. I just always loved my father. He was a wonderful man. In my eyes, he's perfect. He really is. He's dead and everything, but in my eyes, he was perfect. But then I was his favorite child too, so. He loved all of his children, but I was his first child, so he sort of spoiled me, but he was stern with me, too. He taught me everything that I know. But then, see, God spoils me, too. Amen. You know. See, like Brother Chris, I have to keep him sort of tied down. I said, you need to straighten up and make Trinity listen, because that's his daughter. You know, it's the apple of his eye. But one day she'll be bigger. So, you know, my father, he loved me, and I knew he loved me, but he also corrected me. He taught me what I know today. He taught me wisdom and integrity. You know, he taught me everything I know. So you guys, you have to be a good father, because your daughters look up to you, and so do your sons. Don't disappoint them. Don't let them down. Don't make them believe that the Father in heaven is like you are, you know, if you're not a good father. Because that's why a lot of people won't serve God, because they had a bad father or a bad mother, and they think God's the same way, and that's not true. That's not true. Do you know people are jealous of me because people love me? Do you know that? And I can about guarantee if you really looked at your life, people are jealous of you too because people love you, and they can't understand how come they love her so much. Because I'm God's child. And I find favor in the eyes of the Father. And he's here today. If you just understand that. I had to sit back down the other day and I said, you know, God, I was so dumb. When I come on the scene, prophet in this area, and prophets weren't here. And, you know, people loved me, and they just gave and gave and gave into my bosom. They loved me, you know. And I said, I never really understood what was going on. I couldn't figure out why they loved me so much. But it's because you were in me. They loved me and respected me. And I just wanted to hide from everybody, you know. I just didn't like all that. Brother Chris can tell you that. Gore can tell you that. I just didn't want all that attention. But see, God brought me on the scene, and I didn't understand. That's why I'm trying to make you understand who you are in Christ. And when I went to pastor, I don't understand what's going on. Just sit down and shut up. You know, it's because they didn't have that calling on their life. Everybody has a different calling. You have to understand that this morning. Your calling is not the same as mine. Your calling is not the same as your husband's. You know, your callings are different. You're unique people. You have your own personalities, and God works through your personalities. So quit trying to be something that you are not. I did all that when I first started. And I said, God, who am I? He said, I don't know. He said, you're trying to be everybody else. And he said, I don't know who you are anymore either. You know, that's how God speaks to you. So I had to stop, and I had to be Barbara. You have to stop, and you have to be Nancy. You know, you have to stop, and you have to be Alan. Don't try to be everybody else. And if you just let God use the giftings and your personality that you are, you'll tear the kingdom of darkness down. Amen? Come on. Okay. Although the armies, is that where I'm at? Although the armies seem to be gaining ground, I have already equipped you and made a way of escape. Do you hear? Are you reading that? Although the armies seem to be gaining ground, that's the enemy, I have already equipped you and made a way of escape. Don't allow your circumstances to rule your thinking. That's what I did that day. I got so furious, and I had to stop and stomp my foot like Brother Alan does. And so I did a little Isaiah went and threw a truck. Because, you know, because I shouted at the enemy and stomped my foot, so he can't deal with that. So he stomped his foot and threw a truck because he thought I was upset. Well, maybe I ought to throw a truck too. Amen? Come on. Instead of a fit, I should have threw a truck, right? You see what we're saying here? Get the enemy under your feet. Keep him there. Don't allow your circumstances to rule your thinking. And that's what I did. But align your thoughts with my word. Do not allow discouragement and despair to wear you down. And that's what I did. I did all this stuff. I have created you and called you for such a time as this. We're in the time that God's called us for. And if things are going on, then God knew you was going to go through it. Stand your ground. Tell the devil to get lost. Don't give him any more territory. Stand strong in the face of adversity and don't allow anything to divert your attention off your purpose. This is still God speaking. So he's saying to you today, stand strong in the face of adversity and don't allow anything to divert your attention off your purpose. Oh my, we fail this all the time, don't we? We're not going to fail it no more, are we? No, no. As you pray and believe, know that your prayers are powerful and effective. I just went through something the other day, and I know what it is now to be under a witchcraft curse. I was working in my home. Something had been going on. It's over with now. But I was working in my home, and all of a sudden, something came over me. I got so nervous. Everything about me was shaking, and I was totally disorientated. And that went on for a good half hour. And I kept praying and praying and praying. And God told me it's witchcraft being prayed against you. But I had never experienced it to that extent. And the reason was because a person was very upset with me. And so they got their witches together. And it had quite an effect. But I understood what was going on after a fashion. At first I thought I didn't know what was going on. But after a fashion I realized this is witchcraft prayer against me. So, God, it's going to happen. So what are you going to do when it happens? You're going to melt? Or you're going to be strong and understand, you know, devil, you can't. And I did. I said, devil, your prayers are not as effective as my prayers. And then I sent everything back to the sender. Did my prayer and praying that I had to do. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. That was an intense battle. Intense. It could have got me off course. It could have made me just lose everything. But I knew I had to pray. Amen. Do you know when a devil gets mad at you, he gets mad at you. If you think he's a little wimp, you're crazy. He knows how to fight. And see, the problem is that the body of Christ doesn't know how to fight. They just sit down and let him just walk all over. We need to learn how to fight. You know, I used to be really quiet and really mild and peaceful. And I really don't like what God's doing with me, but I understand why he's doing it, because we're fighting bigger demons. And we have to be able to look at that devil eyeball to eyeball and make him back down. And God told me, he said, you're no longer doing deliverances, now you're doing exorcisms, because Satan has sent all his demons up there to fight. You need to know this. You're in a battle. And you have to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ to win this battle. Then God goes on to say, I did not call you to mediocrity, but I have called you to be strong and conquer every battle. Submit your lives in total surrender to me. Ask me and I will give you the wisdom, discernment, and understanding for the days ahead. Just as I sent the angel to Gideon with a message, I say to you, rise up, mighty man, woman of valor, and carry out the assignment that I have for you, says the Lord. Now, are you going to rise up? Are you going to go forth and do the works that God's calling you forth to do? You know, I don't know about you, but if you want to be big, bad, and indifferent, the biggest thing you could do is to defeat the enemy. Fight him and make him back down. Or destroy him. I don't care what you're doing. Put him on your feet and stomp him to death. I don't care. But destroy his camp. You know, I watch these here gangs and this is or ISIS or whatever it is. And I think we have more power and authority than they do. They're just out there bullying everybody. So we don't have to bully nobody. All we have to do is draw on the power that God has given us and the authority and cause the enemy to back away. Why are we allowing the enemy to keep destroying our children? Where are you, mighty men of valor? Head of the household, spiritual head of the household. Excuse me. Why aren't you out there praying? And why aren't you seeing the devil defeated at every turn? Do you not understand that what the devil has done? He's taken the men out of the church. And it's the women sitting in the church, and men are at home doing their thing and causing the enemy to win battle after battle after battle. You men, you have to be the spiritual head in your home. In other words, you have to be on your knees, you need to be fasting, and you need to be praying, and you need to kick the enemy out of your house. When we first got married, Larry brought a sign and hung it on the wall in the still there. It says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I look at that sign every time I go by it downstairs in my basement, in my den. And I'm thinking, is this true? Is this true in our household? It's not. So where somewhere along the line, the enemy got in there. Somewhere along the line, he found an open door and he got in there. And it is destroying the camp. Not trying, he is destroying the camp. That should never be. You men need to get on your faces. You men need to fast. You need to pray. And you need to keep your wives and your children covered in prayer. I don't love her. No, the reason why you don't love her is because the enemy's convinced you don't. Well, she's so ignorant. Is she really? Or is it you? Come on. It's time that we do the things we're supposed to do. It's time that we rise up and take our rightful place. I don't know about you, Emma, but I would love to see a man stand up and do the works of the Lord. I would love to just sit peacefully. No, I wouldn't either, because I like what I'm doing. But I would really love to see, I would really, really love to see men doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we can work right along side by side, right? Come on. I do have fire in me, and God is bringing it out. And I don't know, if you don't want to do your job, I'll do it for you. But that isn't God's way. It is not God's way. I have my granddaughter goes to the guy, and he's listened to a pastor, says women should never preach. Women shouldn't do nothing but sit down and shut up. He always also believes once saved, always saved. And I said, well, right then and there, I turned that pastor off. And he says different things. I said, do you ever read your Bible? What are you saying isn't even true? So anyhow, the bottom line is he won't believe anything I have to say. because this man who he idolizes, because after all he's a preacher, says that the woman shouldn't do anything in the church. I said to him, I said, well, if you get saved and you do the job, then I wouldn't have to, would I? Come on. So, men, I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying, women, stand your ground. You know, somebody has to stand their ground. So we have to stand our ground or the devil's going to take our whole household. I don't know about you, but he's not having none of mine. I worked too hard to get what I got. And I'm going to keep it. I kept it this far, and I'm going to... What's that story about the pea field? He's not stealing my pea field. Come on. Come on. So we're going to read scripture, and we're going to close. Judges 7:13. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon, you need to watch your prayer, or your dreams and your visions. God's trying to tell you what's going on. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up. The Lord has given a Midianite camp into our hands. Get up, church. The devil has given the enemy into our hand. We're supposed to defeat him. God's not going to come down and defeat him. God's given the enemy to us, and he's given him to us, and it means that he's going to fight the battles for us, but we have to go forth and we have to do our part. And our part is just to dance and rejoice because the enemy's under our feet. Come on. Romans 11:5 said, even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. We are the remnant. God has told me from day one when we started this church, you are the remnant that's going to pave the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are the remnant that we've been talking about here this morning. What are you doing with that? What are you doing with that? The enemy should have no place in any of our lives. None. I don't care what your situation is. He should have no place. I know when I failed. In other words, I mean when a situation comes into my camp, I know if I have done things right or done things wrong. I know that. Then if I've done it wrong, I have to repent and go back and then fight that devil, make him get out. And if you're following God, you do too. Isn't that right? Merlin's his name. Thank you. I always forget his name. I'm not good with names. Who cares? The only name I know is Jesus, right? And that's the only name we need to know, right? Come on. I might call you anything, so whatever I call you, just accept it and go on. In my house, my kids never know who I'm talking about. You don't have a dog named Joey on. He even called Isaiah Joey the other day. Just get all them names and just go on with it. Is it, yeah, see, that's the way I always, and I don't know why, but, and I don't like doing that, but that's the way it is. I'll say to you, what's your name again? So don't get upset. I do it with everybody. But at least I'm interested in your name when I'm talking to you, right? Do you know that God's interested in your name? Do you know your name's known in heaven? Do you know your name is known in hell? If you're a true child of God, your name is known in hell. God told me one time, daughter, your name is... Well, the devil told me that too. We all know your name in hell. And we don't like you. I said, that's good. Now shut up and just come out. So the devil, our names are known in hell. Why are they known? They're known for two reasons. Either that you're weak and they can have you, or that they don't want to see your face or hear your voice ever again because you're going to tear their camp down. Now, which is it with you? If your name is known in hell, which it is, are you one of the weak ones that they know they don't have to worry about? Or are you one of the strong ones that they're concerned about? They're worried, scared. They're scared to death up front with you. Come on. Oh, quiet. Real, that's something to think about, isn't it? When somebody hears my name in hell, what are they thinking? Amen. The devil himself has come to me three times, face to face, and talked to me. The devil himself. And God said that the devil himself, he calls him, the enemy himself is going to come to you and speak to you because none of his men can take you down. So he's coming to you himself, and he did three times talk to me. I'm going to tell you, have respect for him. Because I laughed at him. I said, you can't do none of that. Guess what? He did everything he said he was going to do. Then I read about Job. He could do everything but kill him. And God told me he's coming after you, personally. He's going to do everything but kill you. He said, but stand strong, because I'm with you. So everybody in this church today, I mean, God, when I went through my Job experience, God told me I was going through it. Then he said the church was going through it. But now God said the church is done with the Job experience. So quit using that as an excuse. And let's just go on and do the works God calls us for to do. Now, who's a warrior for Christ? If you're a warrior, get up here.